are living in an artificially induced state of consciousness that resembles sleep. The poor and the underclass are growing. Racial justice and human rights are non-existent. We have been lulled into a trance. They have made us indifferent to ourselves, to others. We are focused only on our own gain. That is their primary method of survival. Keep us asleep, keep us selfish, keep us sedated.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here's your host, Michael Storm.
Oh boy, you gotta like it when McDonald's brews the coffee like that. When you get the, when you take the first couple of sips and you already have the jitters. It's a fantastic way to start things off. Thank you. Welcome to the show. I am Michael Storm. This is Toward Anarchy, and as always, my pleasure to be here each week with you live, worldwide, across the Republic Broadcasting Network, hang out with you, chat about, whatever happens to be on my mind at the time, or whoever I happen to have run into in some seedy corner of the internet out there. I have some great, fun, fantastic conversations, and some, not all of them here. I've been on other people's shows here a couple times recently, and another one coming up next week. No, two weeks. I guess must be 2 weeks now. I had to remember exactly where I am in the month of June. I know we're early into it, and I've been keeping track of the calendar. For my own reasons, of course, some things I'm going on dealing with. I will probably fill you in on all that. It had always been my intent to do so, to complete the story. It's a 4-year long story that I will, and I guess it's really not over. That's part of the problem. I'm wondering whether or not I will. I had planned to talk about it next week simply because of the fact that it should have all come to a head by next week, but it doesn't look that way. It's not resolved at this point. It is concluded but not resolved, two different things. And I will so I don't know if I'll be talking about it next week or not, if you finally, after 4 years, get to hear the whole story or not. I'm still waiting on the state to make some moves and decide what it's going to do with whatever it has, and I'm just waiting. I've been chomping at the bit, and it's funny because my lawyer, right when I first talked to her, we first got together and started talking about this thing, I'm already looking past it. I'm looking to the lawsuit and how I'm going to frame the claim in civil court and sue these scumbags. and she just tells you, one step at a time. No, you don't understand. It doesn't matter how this plays out. Win, lose, or draw, that doesn't change the fact that these people get sued, because the bottom line, the underlying cause is faulty based on our own laws, our own protected rights, the real things, not the, whatever. The real law of the land, if you will, as far as that goes. Something that's understood, accepted, legal, and acceptable lawfully as well, because they're two different things. Legal, lawful, right? These are two different things that connote a different meaning when you're talking about, well, certainly when you're talking about justice inside the state system. There is no justice. There's only those of us who are willing to stand up for our rights. And that's whether it doesn't matter if they're paper rights or rights derived from the existence of the state or recognized by the state or accepted by the state. None of these things matter. They're right. There's a legal precedent, and there's not enough people that stand up to the state when the state tries to violate them. It's tough to talk about because I don't want to give anything away. I don't want to get myself in any more trouble, I guess, by saying something that could compromise my position until the entire case is wrapped up, until the whole thing has come to a head. But then again, I think about it, and it's all a matter of record, and so at the same time, there's no reason for me not to talk about it. All the names, everything, the entire account up to an actual court case are all matter of record at this point. They're all, you know, they're public record. You could go find them out for yourself. All you'd have to do is come look through Shawnee County records, and you would find the information. You would see it there. You still wouldn't know all the details. But it puts me in a conundrum because there's no resolution to this case that ultimately has been lingering out there for about 4 years. And it's a really crappy place to be in. Can you imagine? So imagine just the last year actually going through the process of the case, not the entire time that it's loomed out there. Just the actual time spent prosecuting the case, a year in time. And imagine going through that process, dealing with it, understanding that it doesn't matter how right you are, how wrong they are, there's a chance that things could go bad. And that's the problem with messing around with the state and any of its actors at any time, is that it has this power that it wields, without regard for anyone else's safety but the state itself, or the actor for the state themselves. And it's, so it's dangerous to bump up against them, and you just never know how it's going to come out. And something so obvious, so clear, so when you tell it to somebody else, they say, oh my God, I can't believe that this is actually happening. This can't, if what you're saying is true, then there's a problem with the system. There's a problem with justice. This is a broken system. And again, that's where we are. I've been through the system legally over the years to varying degrees, from being arrested, falsely accused, locked in a cage, abused, mistreated, subjected to degradation in a number of different forms, just degrading situations and places and people that you would never have to put up with if not forced to by the state. I've watched it go from in my time, it's kind of weird to even think that it could happen this much in my time, but I've watched it over 50 years. I've seen it. The system has changed. It has gone from being a relatively innocuous system for prosecuting people who have abused someone or someone else's property, have violated them in some way, aside from the problems with the drug war and the problems that exist across the board in general of the state using whatever excuse it can to rob, cage, and murder us in its so-called attempts at justice. It was, what I'm getting at is, it wasn't as bad 30 years ago as it is today. I can attest to that. I could live there are certain aspects of it that were worse, but the overall system itself is worse now today than it was then. It was easier to navigate then. And it's different in different places too. I've experienced it in a couple of different places, and they handle things differently in there. And it's inconsistent with justice. That's the truth of it, because so much of it is based on the idea that some small group somewhere can create any number of reasons, rules, laws, codes, whatever you want to call them, as an excuse to rob, cage, and murder the rest of us for them to make a paycheck. That's literally all that they're doing. Some of them will claim that they're there because they're trying to make things better. They're trying to do what's right. Well, that's in their own mind. That's in their own head, because they don't know what's right for everybody. They can't make things better because the system is broken. It was never designed to be this big. Let's put it that way. Let's just simply put it that way. It was never designed to be this big. It was never meant for the president and a handful of people to micromanage the rest of our lives or all the other states. That was not the point. I think there's historical proof of that in the documentation and the years of legal recognition and contemplation of those documents and what framed America as it is. And it just wasn't meant to be this way. It wasn't meant to be so big in terms of its power and control over all of us as individuals. It's clear. It's obvious. I shouldn't even have to state it. And we find ourselves day by day falling further and further into the trap of the system that feeds on itself and feeds on us and continues whether we do something about it or not, whether we change it or not. It's beyond us. It's grown beyond the individual's ability to control it. So the individual, the only safe route, the only way it works for the individual anymore is to disconnect from it, to drop out. Get as far away from it all as you can. Find every single way possible to make money and live your life outside of the system, as far outside of the system as you like. And for some of us, that's a little closer to the system than others want to be. I have any number of friends that are almost completely disconnected from the system, from literal street people to people who have jobs but don't have a home. They live in their vehicle. They move around. I know I have contact with, I interact with all of these people, and I get their disconnect from it. And in some ways, I envy them. There's any number of homeless people who are around this city here, around every city in America, and they wander through my store. They come in, and we're friends with some of them, and we try to be nice to them, and they're always, you know, they're always digging around in the trash and finding things, and they, you know, they purposely look through bins, dumpsters in apartment buildings and places like that where people have been evicted or have left and moved out, and they've thrown away lots of stuff. So they're always, it's always interesting to see some of the things that they've found and the things that they come across. And they try to bring them into the store. They try to sell them to us. And sometimes, you know, action figures or comic books or Pokemon cards, something like that, we might be interested in. But we end up interacting with them, and they're free. And it's interesting, the freedom that they have is very limited, and it's very limited by themselves. It's a neat thing to see. Not neat. It's neat to be able to experience it, to understand what's going on there. This need, this want for them to be a part of the system, to participate, to have things when in fact they want no ties. It's the weirdest place to be, a weird thing to try and reconcile in your mind if you don't see it for yourself or if you don't understand it. If you don't get the mentality of freedom, but yet still being attached to things. There are people who are so completely disconnected that they are attached to nothing and no one. And then there's the rest of us who are attached to some things and some people. And it's true even of homeless people who have no place to keep stuff. They collect things. They find things, they keep things, and they try to have space, and they're trying to place value in those things and trying to find value in those things so with someone else so that they can trade with them so that they can get what they want, but they're weighed down by it. And so it's already not necessary for them to do it. They've already given up on that system. That's just one of the things that they do to get money, have things, interact with other people. It's just one of the things that they do to do this, one of the tools that they have. Take that out of the toolbox. It's not that big of a loss, but they don't want to. They don't want to let go of it. They don't want to let go of the stuff. It's just such a weird thing to see because, I'll have a friend who wants nothing. Is happy to live in their vehicle and they just fish and they just wander around from place to place. That's all they do is they just go from place to place doing things. They make money. They either have a skill that they take with them or they just do odd jobs or they're collectors of things. Again, the same thing that some of the homeless people, they know that there's value in things, and so they use things to get themselves money, to buy themselves food, to have the things that they need to get by. It's an interesting view of capitalism and how important it is for the individual to have power and understanding in the tools that he uses for exchange, because it's very, very easy to take advantage of people when they don't know what they have and they don't know what it's worth. People do it all the time, particularly in my business, because it's a collectibles business, and there'll be, you know, there's always the mom or somebody like that selling off the kids' collection of comic books or baseball cards that they've collected over the years, and there's always just some fat ponytailed bespectacled individual, something out of a Simpsons cartoon, that is trying to offer them $5 for their $500 thing. So it's something that happens in my industry, and we don't practice it. In fact, a lot of people come to us first, because everybody else in town already has a reputation of not being fair when it comes to dealing with people. They don't, for one, they're not open about the numbers. They just bring in they just have people bring in something and set it down on the table, and they'll just offer them a number, and they don't tell them what that number is based on necessarily. We, right there in front of them, right up front, will tell you that we only pay about X amount in cash. It's about 30% that we'll give, which is considerably more. It may sound like a small amount to you, but it's considerably more than most. And when you're talking about higher end products, things that are worth so much more, proven value, when you're talking about collectibles, things that are older, more valuable, been around a while, our particular characters, whatever it is that has the proven longevity and the value with it, there, you can get up to 50 or 60%, even more, when you're talking about really, really high end value stuff. But that's not exactly what you deal in all the time, so it doesn't really work out that way, and people will take advantage of other people. Go to towardanarchy.com and check out what's going along, and we will we'll come back here. Just a moment.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy with Michael Storm.
Work on that short-term memory. Stop relying on constant reminders, I guess. I'm experiencing a thing to do with people who don't manage themselves and don't manage their time. And it's, well, we all deal with it all the time, right? We're always bumping up against people who, for whatever reason, frustrate us with their inability to use our time in a proper, respectful manner. I try not to waste other people's time. I go out of my way to not be in the way, to not be a time suck for people. And other people don't do the same. They don't offer the same courtesy. I see it a lot. And I'm just, it's part of a technology thing, is part of it, is the people rely so much on just being able to be reminded, or on other people, systems or other people, to keep them on the path to doing the things they need to do instead of just doing it. If you say you're going to do something, just do it. You shouldn't need, if it's time sensitive, date sensitive, whatever it is, you write it down on the calendar. When you say yes, when you accept it, you write it down on the calendar, and that's it. You shouldn't need necessarily another reminder again anywhere in between then and that date to make sure that it's already booked, right? That's the way you look at it. My time is taken. I speak of it, of course, in terms of radio and sort of booking people for the show and guests, but it's the same across the board. It doesn't matter. When you agree to do something and you do agree to do it in a time and a place, it shouldn't be particularly complicated for you to be there. And it's interesting. I think it's a failure of creative people, for sure, who get caught in the trap of letting somebody else broker their information and their connectivity. And that's at the point that you have to do that, you're too big. When it's out of your control, then your control should probably end. Maybe not. I just see it too often with things that are too big. That's just it's the same conversation I was having just before the break, because it applies across the board. It's just too big, Remember the whole government thing is the government thing is supposed to work for us and with us and at our behest and request, right? But it doesn't. It just works for those people who are in government and who make that system and who get paid by that system. The rest of us are just sort of victims of it. If we're lucky, we don't bump up against it too often, and it doesn't leave us too broken, beaten, or scarred. Imagine going through a direct year of the state trying to lock you in a cage, to take away your rights, to have it all come to an abrupt end, but not really. It hasn't really ended, because it's a matter of procedure. And so now you've gone through this whole period of high anxiety, a point where if it's something serious enough that you're thinking about it all the time, you're constantly being reminded of it anytime there's a quiet moment in your life. Things calm down for a minute and you suddenly remember, oh, on X date, these criminal scumbags over here who fabricated a story and a law and a position and a thing to begin with in the first place to allow them to even put me in this position are going to try to lock me in a cage on this day. They're going to try to take away my rights, my freedoms, my money, my family. You go through that for an entire year only to not have it resolved in the end, for it to still be left hanging out there. This is another example of our broken system. There's no question in my mind that that's not the way a truly just system, this American system, if that's what it's supposed to be, should be functioning like. I will get into it. I'm going to end up having to talk about it at some point and fill the whole thing in. It's just frustrating because it's obvious to me, and so it has to be obvious to a lot of other people, and that includes the people in the system. They can go to work and do the things that they do every single day, knowing that all they are doing is they're collecting a check and taking advantage of their neighbors. That's it. We'll be right back. I'll elaborate.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit partdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names. Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy with Michael Storm.
Been dazed and confused for so long, it's not true. Wanted a woman, never bargained for you. Lots of people talking, few of them know. Soul of a woman was created below.
Do me a great, big, huge favor and support the network. It's not possible for us to continue to do this, for me to continue to do this for very long without your support. And so support the network, please. And not just for me, but for the wonderful folks who are there putting in the hard work, like Sam every day, making sure that these things get done, that guests can get connected, and that the signal goes out. And the airwaves are filled with all the amazing voices across the Republic Broadcasting Network. ShopRBN.com, that's an easy way to help support the network. But the best way, of course, is just a straight-up direct donation. If it's something you can do, we ask you to do it. If not, just keep listening, keep enjoying. We're going to keep doing this every second, every day until we can't do it anymore, until somebody comes and takes the equipment away, drags us away, and chains us down. So so that we're no longer capable of piecing together this little thing and that little thing and somehow finding a way to make this all work every day. We do it for you and because of you. We couldn't do it without you. So help support the network, republicbroadcasting.org. Click on the donate button. It's right there on the left-hand side up at the top. There's a bunch of different ways. Call if you have any questions. There's a phone number right there. They just people still use phones, right? I don't even remember the last time I talked to them. No, that's not true. I've spent so much time on the phone. I spent a ridiculous amount of time on the phone yesterday talking to someone about something I don't give a damn about. And I can't. I just don't. I'm happy. I like text. I like being able to text somebody and just get that information get right to the point. You know, no BS, no filler, no extras. Just here you go. Here's the information. Here's what you need to know. Let's go from there. I'm a fan of that, no doubt about it. Go to towardanarchy.com. That's where I keep my information. That's where all the information about the show is. You like, share, follow, subscribe. God, I haven't said that in a while. I need to throw that back in there. That's a good one. That's a nice little buzz phrase. To get people to just ultimately remember that's what you have to do. That's how we survive this. This is how we get the information through. I over the years, we've talked about the YouTube, and I just stress how it's such a good example of how important the like and the share and the follow and the subscribe are to us doing these things out here, whatever it is, whether it's political talk, such as you are likely to find across Republic Broadcasting Network, or whether it's somebody doing video games and music or something, whatever it is, the way that it gets around is because of the people who like it, the people who value it, the people who support it, making sure to take that one extra second to click the like button, to click the follow button, to share it, to subscribe to it, whatever it is. Wherever you find the show, at Toward Anarchy on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and just about everywhere else. And as always, at towardanarchy.com. You can subscribe to the newsletter. I don't send one out very often. In fact, it's been a little while since I sent one out. I should probably get one out and let everybody know we're still here and share some of these amazing. I can share the links of the shows that I've been on here recently, and they're fantastic, wonderful conversations, and you might enjoy the hosts and the people on those shows as well. Again, sharing and spreading the love around. I had some problems with this stupid website that's been going on all this year as I've been distracted, but most of it seems to have come to a head this last week. I think I finally found most of the tweaks. If you go back too far in the archive right now, you might find some missing pages, but everything from 2020 to 2023 is absolutely better be available. It better be up there. I put a lot of work into making sure it was, and getting the changes and making sure that it's back on a secure server. And it's been a mess of a game of just stupidity and idiocy involving people and machines and people who just don't do a good job supporting people with the products and the services that they offer, and you wonder why, and if it's the cost, then charge me more, you dumbass. Make more money doing it. Just give me better support and make sure the stuff works and it doesn't take 6 months for me to get something done because you got your head in a place that's dark and doesn't properly belong. Towardanarchy.com. I shared a couple of links this week. It's June 4th if you're at all interested in where I am in my world live at the moment. There's some things that may change up there that could happen because I had to move some things around, and it's all because of this schedule. It's just been goofy, and it was supposed to be this week and next week, it was supposed to be, I have no time, I had all this planned, and it was going to be the sort of culmination of at least a year's worth, if not more, of unnecessary weight carried around, unnecessary just distraction and nonsense, to the tune of, as I was saying earlier, to just constantly being distracted by it. Anytime there's a sort of quiet moment and you have a moment of peace to yourself, a chance to think, the first thing you think about is this undone stuff, this stuff that's hanging out. And that was all supposed to work out, and it has in some ways, and it hasn't in other ways. And so I'm a victim of my own unwillingness to overmanage my time. That's the best way I'll put it. So I'm constantly working on new ways to try to find myself, simple ways, because I don't want to overcomplicate just doing something. I want to do it, and I want to remember to do it when it's not something. When I put something down on a piece of paper, a calendar, and it's somebody else's time, I remember it. I just do it, because that's what you do. You tell somebody you're going to do something, you do it, it's done, it's off your plate, you can feel good about having done what you said you were going to do, but more importantly, it's done. It's just done. It's not there anymore. It doesn't consume you. But we're terrible with ourselves and managing ourselves that way and treating ourselves that way with the things that we want to do. And they may not seem important, but that's not true. You wouldn't want to do them. You wouldn't do them. Why would you do them at all if they weren't important to you? So there's a level of importance that you have to assign to them. And this is a lot of some of the conversation that I wanted to have this week was talking about helping professional creative people or creative people who want to be professionals place value in the work that they do. We've talked about this before. It's a hard thing to do. But it can be done. Obviously, people are successful at it and they do it all the time. And it's about placing that value in that thing. As I was just saying, you have, if you were going to do it at all, then it must have some value for it. And therefore, doing it, getting it off your plate, getting it out of the back of your mind is extremely important to your mental and physical health. I don't, you may not believe this, but I can just attest to you that it's true. As someone who I don't relish these things, but I recognize these things when they happen, and they happen to all of us. It's that the extreme highs and extreme lows. And it's all in how we deal with these things, and it's all in our understanding of ourselves and accepting of the fact that these things happen to all of us. I there was somebody this week that I heard talking. I don't know who it was, some celebrity or something, just talking in passing about how we have I guess in my own words, how we throw away the word hero. We just throw that out there too often. It's used too often to describe people doing normal, expected stuff that the rest of us do every single day, that we quietly, if you will, suffer through as individuals every single day, and they're praised for their ability to overcome their own inability to overcome. God, I hope you understood that. Because I don't want to say it again. I don't want to have to try to figure out the math on that. You have to be in control of you and set certain expectations, and you have to enjoy them and do them for yourself like you would religiously do them for someone else. As again, personally speaking, someone who I don't waste other people's time. I have my time, and you're either invited into it, as such as you are right now, and you're totally free to be here or not, or there's time that you've requested of mine that is now yours. And it, that's very rare because I don't let people do that to me. And there are some people you can't get away from them doing that to you. And there are some instances, business owners, things like that, where you can't get away from it. And so you have to position yourself in such a way as to you get those things done. You do those things that you say you're going to do for the people and the reasons why you're going to do them. But then you have to carry that one step further, and that's for yourself and recognizing the value in the things that you still have hanging out there. I don't care if it's putting together that Lego set that's in that box, the unopened box sitting over there in the corner. I'm only using that as an example because I'm sure I have one unopened over just right around the corner that I could put together if I really want to. But it really just is truly an example of the sort of what you might consider to be, or somebody else more likely might consider to be, an extreme waste of your time. I don't believe that that's true, that's not true. Your time is yours, and you spend it the way you want to spend it. And if you like to build Legos, then you should spend time building Legos, and you should make time for yourself to put together Lego sets, and you should set that time aside, and you should respect and accept and value and be happy with that time. And you know, there's your We're so critical of each other, and we're so on the flip side of that, so respectful of each other, and not critical of ourselves and disrespectful of ourselves. We all the things that we'll do, and make ourselves try to be better people at for other people and in other situations, we don't do for ourselves so often. A sacrifice of ourselves for an appearance, and that's not it's an unsatisfying relationship with yourself and with the things that you do. When you yourself, I get doing things for other people making you feel good. Mothers are this way; they're often this way. But then again, I can tell you from experience, the mother gets older, finds other things. They become an empty nester, or start to drift down that road toward an empty nest, and they start to review themselves in their life. And I assure you, this happens, and they question where they've spent that time and what they're going to do, more importantly, with the time ahead of them. And I assure you that very little of it is about satisfying other people. You understand what I'm saying? People get older, and realize that they should have been living their life for themselves. And maybe sometimes, for some people, it ultimately plays out to where the investment was kind of worth it. It really kind of worth it, because you're okay. Maybe you don't have to worry about money for the rest of your life. You worked hard, and so now you have time. But it's a different time. It's not the same time. All of the things that could have been done then that can't be done now will never be done. And that's what people end up coming to realize. And they really don't, in the end, have any real value and any real gain out of those things other than maybe a bit of leisure later. And they sell you on that. And a lot of times, people that can't enjoy it, people that they worked long enough, they worked hard enough that they're broken, and now there's all the time and money in the world, but now you're not capable, and that's why they at the same time they're rethinking what they did in the past, they're rethinking their future, and they start taking vitamins and they start working out and they start doing yoga and they start being a different person and living a little bit more for themselves and trying to find more value in themselves and in what they do. What was that? Let me pull this up here. Let me see, what was it? Yeah, I guess we got a few minutes left. We could talk to Art. What is it? Politicians that don't follow it through. Why? I guess then would we even care? Because don't we get it already? Haven't we given up on this thing? No, obviously we haven't, because there's still a lot of people out there voting. what about these politicians that don't follow through, Art?
Well, I find it very annoying, you know, and irritating as hell when, you know, these politicians, it's every cycle, they'll get up there, they'll talk this good talk about what they're going to do and what they'll accomplish and this. And then when they get in there, they don't do anything. And this is just repeating over and over and over again. And I don't understand why people will continue to reelect these same people when it's clear that they're not doing what they say they're going to do. They're not following through. And, you know, this comes back to every time I turn around, I hear, well, in this next election, and I don't really see that we can vote our way out of this, because anybody, you know, Douglas Adams, in one of his books, I forget which one it was, I think it was Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, said that those who actively seek political position should in no way be allowed to acquire it. And, you know, I think that's actually something, some very sound advice there, that we should be very careful of who we look at when we start talking about who we want.
Well, yeah, because look at this. This is, it's either somebody who wants control and power over other people, or somebody who actually believes that using this system and these things that haven't worked out, it's played out to what we have now, they somehow live in this imaginary world where they're going to be able to get in there. They may be the most dangerous ones. They're going to get in there and they're going to change this system.
Yeah, and it just scares the living bejesus out of me, as, you know, we see what's happened up to this point. And my God, could it get any worse? This next election has got me really scared as to just exactly how it's going to pan out. And I can't see anybody doing any worse than Biden's doing right now. But, you know, give the Republicans the opportunity. I'm sure they will. Anyway, thanks, Michael. I appreciate you letting
you bet, brother.
Get that off my shoulders. And you have a good one.
You too, Art. Take care. Absolutely true. There's no question about it that it's a funny game that we sit here and watch and we play every few years, every couple years, every 4 years, depending on what the cycle is and who's being elected, that these people, they get up there and they dance around and prance around and tell us how great it's going to be. But, man, none of it exists for us. At this point, if it ever did at all, I'm willing to give the benefit of the doubt when it was smaller, when it was more easily managed, when things were localized, when we took care of our own, when I'm sure this time existed. There must. I'm not talking about the idyllic 50s or some silliness like this. I'm talking about sort of pre. Yeah, it's been a while since we lived in such a way where justice was a thing that wasn't monetized. I in the free market, everything is monetized, but the value is in the reason why you buy it, the reason why it becomes the better product, why that service becomes a better service is because it's better. Because it's working, because it's proven itself within the system, and people have chosen that of themselves, and they've seen it. It's proven. It's like that older comic book or collectible that I talk about. It's proven in the market. It's already shown that it can work. And what we have in this system, whether it's the justice system or the entirety of the political system, is a system that has repeatedly proven over and over again that it doesn't work. It's not for everyone. It's not for anyone except for those who participate in it and can get in on the inside of it. And even then, they're still subject to the system, because the system always comes first. It has to be. It's a weird thing, because we get people who pass laws. We get these presidents and these congressmen and these senators and local whoever's they come along and they pass a law and they say that it's a law that we need at a time and a place and within this certain power, except that time and places and powers and things, they change constantly. So this they create something. Obama must have done it a thousand times if he did it once. Let's do this. Let's sign the NDA. Let's do one of these things, pass one of these laws, make some action that sets a precedent or creates a power in the future that, well, I'm not going to use it. We would never use that against you. We would never do that to you here in America, but we need the ability. If you would never use it, then why do you need the ability to do it? And why the hell, if you think it's so important not to use, would you leave it as a power for the next person? This thing is such a joke, this whole thing. When I find it so hard to even talk about government. I don't even want to, in any sense of the word, talk about government other than just seeing it die, because it's a laughable joke that anyone anywhere believes that there's anyone in government that is any good for anyone anywhere, because it's not about the government. It's not about that person. It's about that system and how it can be used by the next person and the next person and the next person. Every single tool you leave, every precedent you set on one side of the aisle is a tool, a weapon for the next one in the future. Every time you take away a right or you monetize a right of the people, of the individual, of the state, you absolutely leave a open door, open window, a crack, whatever, just the littlest of space to continue to push through for the next reason, for whatever reason is. It's for the children. That one's one of the big ones. It's always for the children. It's for the environment. It's for the planet. It's for our best interests. It's better for the economy. It's better for the education. But none of those things are true, because what's better is that we all be allowed to just do. And by allowed, I mean nobody out there suggesting that they have a better way and forcing it on you to make these decisions for ourselves. Just before the show, we're talking about the fact that here in Kansas, I was in the store picking up some cigars, and the people in line were talking to the clerk about the fact that here in Kansas, they just made it legal to buy beer on a Sunday before 9 a.m. And as I was leaving, and they're talking about, I remember when you couldn't do this and you couldn't buy it on a Sunday at all, and blue law this and blue law that. And I looked at them all. I said, and I remember, well, I don't really remember this time, but I remember a time when we were adults and we could make the decisions for ourselves and that we didn't need a nanny state. I remember that being, that's not true. It doesn't exist. That's something that's on TV and on paper. It's not a reality. The reality is they're in control. They're going to do what they want to do, what's best for them, and screw the rest of us. And we will be victims of them forever. Ever and ever, the proverbial, the literal boot on the face of humanity. That's where you are. If you don't believe it, open up your window, take a look outside. We'll be back next week. Till then, take care.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.